We have roll call, please.
Bill Goggins. Laura Hine. John Kapler.
Here.
Kathleen McMonagle.
Here.
Betsy Pringle.
Here.
Elsie Weber.
Here.
Rick Whitney.
Here. All right. Our agenda for the evening is to review the issues regarding the Northwest University's field use, and then follow up on the joint meeting with the City Council. And we have no minutes to be reviewing and approving. So do we have any council member reports or comments? Yeah, John?
Just want to report quickly on the Lakeview neighborhood plan, that we are moving forward with that. We are a little bit slower than the agenda had originally called for by about 1 week. Everybody in the group discussed that they wanted to spend a little bit additional time talking about some of the items on the agenda and go ahead and start earlier to try and catch up on the time frame. So, but things are progressing and we're making progress and we're plowing through it.
Is there a meeting tonight?
Tomorrow night.
There were some people in the parking lot and they were like, is the neighborhood meeting tonight? I'm like, the Houghton Community Council meeting today, but you should go in and ask.
Right. So both neighborhood meetings are tomorrow evening. Yep.
Great.
Right, and the Central Houghton neighborhood plan is...
You be sure and speak into the mic.
Oh, sorry. Central Houghton neighborhood plan is moving ahead. We're having extra meetings and still feeling like we're behind, still feeling like maybe the process is maybe being a little rushed because there's a lot to go through and a lot to digest. And, we're meeting twice as often as we meant to, but we're still feeling... kind of overwhelmed, I think. So, but
is it in control or
no? Last week was complete chaos, and it was not fun.
Do you need any assistance or
maybe?
Okay, well,
people are pretty passionate, about what goes on in their neighborhood, and I felt a little out of my league, so.
Well, you're not at these meetings, right?
So. No. Have you heard?
I hadn't, actually.
Okay.
Well, I guess, before it gets to the point where you really feel like it's chaotic and out of control to the point where it's, you're not going to get through the process well. I mean, I'd like to offer, I think either the city's resources or I'd be willing to come to a meeting if I can help, anything. Let's not let it get to the point where it's really...
I have lovely city people there. I mean, Eric Shields is there. And
Eric is?
Oh, yeah. people are passionate. And I have a hard time corralling everybody, and that's just my... perception of it.
Okay. If it would help you, I'd be glad to come out to a meeting if you think it would be of any help. I'm not trying to in any way interject myself, but if you feel like you need somebody.
Love to have you, Rick.
Oh, okay.
Well, so that means tomorrow night?
If you want to come. Right. I think, I'm going to, I think we have a better handle on it tomorrow night. But, tomorrow night, they're going to be discussing the Houghton Center. And so I'm sure people are going to have opinions on that too, And
well, it's okay to have opinions. Did you ask Eric if the other neighborhood plans, several of them were late and took a long time and a lot of work.
Of extra time.
Yeah, so it might not be an unusual experience. That might be how the process is.
Well, yeah, I think most people get at least 2 years to do their neighborhood plan, and we're getting 1 year, and it's...
Although part of the idea was we were hoping that we'd learn something from the other neighborhood processes and we were not recreating the wheel and you could interject some efficiencies that way. But oh, well.
I think, everybody gets along. Everybody likes each other. It's just that there's a lot of stuff to get through in 2 hours. So it's
not, okay.
Yeah. It's not.
Well, let me know if you need a life ring. So, all right. Any other
sorry about that, folks.
Council member reports?
Did you have something?
No. Okay. So normally at this point we would have requests from the audience and give the audience opportunity to be speaking. I'm going to turn it around a little bit tonight, and because what I first want to do is I want to get the report from Nancy on where the status is on this, the main issue that we're dealing with, and find out where that's at, and then give the audience an opportunity to be able to, and this isn't like a hearing, but I'd rather let them hear what Nancy has to say about what's happened and then give them a chance to give us their input. So does anybody have an objection to that, delaying the items from the audience until afterwards? I think that will be more productive that way. When we do have that opportunity for the audience to speak, our normal procedure is you'll have to come up to the podium, identify yourself, and give me your address, and then we want you to limit your comments to no more than 5 minutes, and please avoid being repetitive. In other words, if somebody else has already made the point, you don't need to make it over and over. And if I hear people saying the same thing over and over, I'm actually going to say, okay, well, we've heard enough of that, and, you know, unless you got something new, we're not going to take up all night with hearing the same thing. So with that, though, we're not going to have the items from the audience just yet. I want to hear Nancy tell us what she, give us her report on what's happening on this field use issue.
Not sure I know anything that everyone else doesn't already know, but I will just go through from the city's perspective what's been going on. And there's the memo in your packet just has an outline or a timeline sort of the situation. And it starts off talking about the zoning permit for the change of use for the Seahawks field and building that was approved a year ago, and that the practice fields, the use of the practice fields was limited to use by Northwest University Athletic Practices and Intramurals. And so that occurred about a year ago, and then fast forward to March 16th of this year, when some of the neighbors adjoining the fields contacted the city and were concerned about use of the fields by Kirkland Lacrosse. And then some city staff, Eric and Tony Levitt, contacted the neighbors and Northwest University and talked about the concerns. And at that time, the university, I believe that was Dan Neary, commented that he thought that the use of the fields by the lacrosse group was within the university's rights to do. So staff analyzed that a little bit further and did not agree with that interpretation and concluded that use by an outside organization did not comply with the change of use permit. And then on March 31st, a few of the neighbors came in and met with Tony and Eric Shields and talked about the condition of the buffer, the use of by lacrosse, and also the situation where the kids were not making it to the restroom. So at that time, mediation, the Bellevue Neighborhood Mediation Program was offered to the neighbors, but my understanding is that that proposal was declined. So then working into the enforcement arena, the city issued a notice of violation on April 19th, which is a week ago, pertaining to the non-permitted use of the fields by the lacrosse players. The next event, some of the neighbors spoke at the city council meeting on April 20th, explained to the city council the concerns in detail, submitted a lengthy report with pictures. And so that pretty much takes us up to that point. So more recently then, Northwest University, Dan Neary and Steve Sankey, I believe, met with the neighbors on April 22nd. And at that time, the university agreed to do three things: to clean up the buffer between the practice field and the neighbors, to deliver a porta potty to the field, and to reschedule all but three games in May on Saturdays. And so that was the outcome that I heard about after that meeting on April 22nd. And what evidently has occurred since then, I haven't seen it myself, but I did hear that the buffer was cleaned up and improved late last week, and that a sandy can was delivered. So that pretty much brings you up to speed with what I have heard, and I haven't been involved in any of the meetings directly, really.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have the pictures that we could see, or?
Oh, I don't know. Actually, in the interest of time, because we all had access to them, right? You've emailed everything to us, right? On everybody got that full attachment on. But you'll get a chance to talk after. Yeah, we have this process we have to go through. So, but everybody's had that chance to see that, and frankly, just to clarify this, this is out of the normal scope of our authority or jurisdiction. Yeah, I mean, we normally do not get involved in code enforcement issues, and the only reason that I felt it was worthwhile in this situation is because there's been, I think the neighbors, looking at the history of this, have made a lot of good faith efforts over a period of time to try to work with the university. The university has, it seems to me, up until just recently, not been very responsive to it. And then, frankly, the city was a little slow in responding to the neighbors' requests. And at that point, I felt like maybe we do need to intervene and at least express to all parties that we take this very seriously, and we do have a little bit of influence because the university has represented that they are in the future looking to maybe make some changes to the use, and so it would be appropriate for us to get some feedback on how they've operated under the current program and how, you know, whether or not we can even trust them if we were to make changes. And so I thought, you know, it's probably good for us to get this. It's timely, and otherwise we wouldn't normally be involved in this, just so everybody knows. So back to where we're at. And so anyway, having said that, I do not want, this isn't like a court of law, and I don't want to go through all the details on, you know, I think that the statements of fact that everybody tends to agree on is the use by the lacrosse players or anybody who's not a Northwest University student is not consistent with the master plan, and it's an illegal use.
And let's include the soccer camp as well.
Correct, soccer camp. Well, anybody who's not a NYU student, nobody disputes that. The university has agreed. They say, yeah, whether they misunderstood or whatever. Although it seems black and white that their own proposal was very explicit when they made the. I wasn't at that meeting, by the way. I don't know if you guys know, but I wasn't here for that hearing. But I went back through all the records and. Mm-hmm. Their own proposal was very explicit. It was only for their students' use. So having said that, nobody disputes that they're violating their use. Nobody seems to there's no dispute over how they haven't been maintaining the landscape barrier. Those aren't the issues. It's just what's going to be done about it. And so having said that, so Nancy, yeah.
I just want to add about the soccer use. To this point, our enforcement action is addressing the lacrosse use,
mm-hmm.
and I personally don't have a lot of information about the soccer use. I know there was some presented in, from the neighbors.
I don't think that matters. It's not Northwest University students using the team, so I don't think it matters what organization it is, does it?
Not according to what the master plan is.
What the master plan is.
It's irrelevant.
I don't know what the involvement of the university students is with the
I don't think it matters. It's not a university team.
Okay.
I mean, that's the way I see it.
They're small children.
Yeah.
Well, Nancy, this even the university's proposal, their proposal said the practice fields are proposed to be used for the exclusive use of Northwest University athletic practices and intramural activities. You know, conducting a youth soccer program is not for non-university students. That's not an intramural activity.
Okay, I'm just stating that we haven't really looked into that in any depth, and and it was not included in the notice of violation at this point.
Was today the day the $100 a day fine starts for being out of compliance?
Well, I can explain how the enforcement process works. After the notice of violation was issued a week ago, and it had a week for compliance, and compliance was to discontinue the non-permitted use of the soccer of the fields, and so if there had been use of the fields today, then our code enforcement officer would have issued a notice of civil infraction today. And when the notice of civil infraction is issued, that kicks in the beginning of the fines at $100 a day. We have not had a report that the fields were used today, so therefore we have not issued the notice of civil infraction.
So someone has, so if games were played on Saturday, someone would have to report that, and then
that's,
the fines would start.
That's correct, because, of course, we're not out there on Saturday.
Sure.
So, yeah, if the fields are used on a Saturday or any time that we're not there, and we would know, we could just be contacted, and we would verify whatever we can do to verify that they were used, and then we would count that as one day of fines.
So it's a per incident $100 a day fine, or is it $100 a day, the clock starts running from the time that they have started using them, and then it just runs every day at $100 a day? In other words, is it just going to be on the days that they actually are using it, or is it?
It's per incident, yeah.
Per incident.
Yeah,
on a per day basis.
On the days they're using it.
Oh, that's pretty cheap use for them. They can, I mean, there's not a lot of teeth in that, because at $100 a day, they're certainly generating a heck of a lot more revenue than $100 a day by leasing the fields out, right?
Well, the amount of the fines is what it is, and it's for any enforcement action within the city. So
we can't adjust
that amount because of this particular use for someone.
My only question being is, once that use has once they've done it, then it doesn't continue on a calendar basis. It's per violation.
Correct.
Per day.
Is it possible, Nancy, to forward that language to us tomorrow or Wednesday? It would be nice to see.
Which language is that?
On the enforcement language, that it is actually per incident and not per calendar day, the actual language.
That's online, isn't it?
I mean, I'm sure it's in the code somewhere. I just don't know where to look.
Yeah, I'll look it up, and maybe I can tell you tonight.
That'd be nice. Thank you.
So I had, I think, two more questions. So this is a non-conforming use with a violation, but Northwest University was making money from this, so they were using it as a business use. So, and Nancy had asked this before. So does that mean that they have to declare that money as income? Do they have to turn that income over to the city? Do they have to turn that income back to the Kirkland Lacrosse? You can't just generate money and not pay taxes and not have a business permit and all of those things.
The city has no involvement with that contract between the Kirkland Lacrosse and the university. So whatever money they're making, that's just not part of the city's involvement. Does that answer your question?
No. So what does the city generally do when an illegal business is run, when there's not a permit?
Well, then we determine whether or not it is legal, and we try to base that on facts and evidence. And then if it doesn't discontinue at the proper time, then we would fine them. Same way that we're talking about. But the financial transactions of businesses, that is...
seems to me
not something we get into.
If you're going to have a business in your home or a business in your backyard or anything else in our city, you have to get a business license. And I would think that if they were going to have a soccer team or a lacrosse team that they were collecting money from, that they would have to have a business license for that.
Also, is that what you're asking about, is a business license?
I don't know if that's what...
That's part of it, yeah.
Was asking.
I don't know the answer to whether or not something like that would require a business license. I would have to check into that.
That's a separate matter, too. Okay. So.
I'm not trying to make your life difficult.
No, I don't mind checking. I just don't know.
And then the other question I had about the soccer team, does that mean that somebody would have to wait until there was a soccer camp there to file a complaint that the city would then have to investigate and verify, since this notice of violation doesn't include the soccer camp or any other business use?
The use has to occur for us to enforce against it.
Well, can't there just, can't you just cease and desist any activities on the playing field that don't involve...
Yeah, that seems kind of crazy that it's like you can do it once and pay $100 and then you can do it again next month and, for someone to complain and take a lot of city time, and then you could do it 3 months later, and then you could do it 6 months later, and then you could do it 6 days later.
I can't speak for the university, but my sense is, because of what's gone on, they're understanding the situation and are in the future going to apply for an amendment to the change in use permit or whatever is necessary in order to use the fields.
Okay. Then
the other thing is, I had called Joan McBride and exchanged information with her, and she had told me that this went forward to the city council, because since this isn't our jurisdiction, and it costs a lot to have a special meeting, and it's...
Well, it's our regular monthly meeting, but we would have otherwise canceled it.
There's just nothing on the agenda.
Yeah.
We're all here.
Yeah.
But it seems like this should go to the city council, and why did it take a long time to investigate, and, how do we prevent this in the future?
Mm-hmm.
And so, the city council meeting on Thursday, they asked for a full report, and when are they getting that?
We're going to prepare a report for the reading file, which I think would be going out next week.
Okay. That was all I had.
Okay. John?
I'm curious, when the neighborhood came with this infraction, why it was only focused on lacrosse. Can you tell me, Nancy, did the neighborhood specifically focus on lacrosse? Did they focus on use? Did they not mention soccer, so the city didn't suspect soccer? Why did the city focus in on lacrosse and not all the other uses?
Well, my understanding, the original, or the meeting with Eric and Tony Levitt, March 31st, the focus at that point was lacrosse. That was going on and was a great concern, and so that's just what we targeted at that point.
I don't understand why there's any game still going on. I mean, this is disallowed use, and then it said something about three more games are allowed to go on or something like that. Is that what the agreement was? Is that what you said? Oh, okay. I thought it said rescheduled all but three games, right?
Right.
Saturdays.
That's what I understood as a result of the meeting from last Thursday, that Dan Neary and the neighbors, after the meeting, Dan Neary indicated that the soccer or the lacrosse association has been able to reschedule all of the practices and whatever games are left, except for three Saturdays in May. So,
nevertheless, it's a violation, and so I don't understand why we're having any more games on those fields.
Well, again, they haven't occurred yet. He just said that they're going to, and that is, you know, just what he said.
Well, it's
like in your face. It's just like we know we're violating, but we're going to do three more games anyway.
Well,
the city just says okay. I don't understand why you can't stop. I don't understand why it can't be stopped.
Well, we can't issue a cease and desist for something like this. That's the cease and desist process in code enforcement is used for environmental degradation that's occurring immediately. I think that they did reschedule a number of practices and games, you know, compared to what the youth had planned on. And so they made a lot of progress. And I think what the university is saying is that they're trying to,
Nancy, this was blatant. This was blatant disregard.
I don't think they're denying that it is not correct.
They were trying to.
It was very clear in the meetings. I asked the questions. The answers were very, very clear. They would not do this.
And Dan Neary was right there saying.
Then they said that, we think this is allowed. This is absolutely blatant.
What I'm trying to say is that now, and yes, it
because
they are
caught.
Admitting they made a mistake, and that
mistake my foot.
It wasn't a mistake. They didn't make a mistake. They blatantly did something they knew they weren't supposed to do. They tried to get away with it. The neighbors complained. They still tried to get away with it, and it took neighbors coming to City Hall, going to City Council before anything happened. And now it sounds like they're still just getting a slap on the wrist, and I'm really shocked by this.
Yeah, I'm shocked at the city's response.
Response.
I'm frankly shocked at the city's response to this, yeah. Nancy.
I'm not surprised by Northwest College's response.
Okay. You've pretty much where the city's at now is they've got to wait for a violation. At that point, they can impose a $100 a day fine. And from the sounds of things, Northwest University, if they choose to just ignore it and pay the fines, there's nothing more that the city can do in this situation because the gravity doesn't rise to the level of having to or giving you the ability to do a cease and desist is what you're saying.
That's true.
That a correct
That's true.
Assessment of the situation. But if the university reduces it down to three Saturdays for the remainder, I think they were scheduled through mid-June, every Saturday and Sunday. So if they've gotten it down to three, I'm not in any way saying that this is, a great result, but it's a hell of an improvement over having it going for, 7 weeks every weekend, 14 days down to three. And just, hey, Betsy, if I didn't take this seriously, I wouldn't have had this meeting. So, we have to be realistic about it. The city is, if the code enforcement process that they have is inadequate, well, then we should be trying to work through city council to make some changes so that situations like this don't occur again.
I want to tell you something that happened in my neighborhood because I live next door to Northwest College. A month ago...
University.
Huh? University. University. I've lived there so long, I still... I guess some kids made some noise in the parking lot. I didn't hear it. I live next door to the dorms. And the next morning, these kids come over and they've got papers in their hands. And it's like, we're sorry, we made noise in the parking lot. And our dorm leader is making us go around to all the neighbors and apologize for the noise we made in the parking lot because we might have disturbed you. And we're going, wow, how about that? And I'm reading these letters from these neighbors
yeah.
putting up with this, and I'm going, Yeah. Some kid drops something in the parking lot, and he has to hand out letters and go door to door in my neighborhood. The college does this to these neighbors. I think Dan Neary and Joe Castleberry should go around to every single neighbor and say, we apologize for the way we've treated you and for the discomfort we've put you and your families in.
Yeah.
And no, I don't think they should get three more games.
One other thing, Nancy. So you have not taken up the issue, the landscaping issue, which actually has a lot more history, you know, and the efforts made by the neighbors on that go back, you know, 2 years. And the response by the university is pathetic. And I'm not hearing that that's the university making any commitments on that. And so I'm wondering, are you aware of any actions on that front?
There will have to be a maintenance agreement signed, or I guess it has been signed and recorded regarding the maintenance of the buffers as part of the tenant improvement project for the office building.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there will be a legal document addressing, you know, the requirement for maintenance. It's there anyway, and...
Does the city have the capability when somebody's ignoring an agreement that they've made to maintain landscaping to just say, fine, the city contracts it out and then just charges the university for it? I'm just curious. I mean, is that an option?
That sounds more like something that we do if there is a financial security or a bond associated with something. So, in other words, when a party's required to do something, sometimes we take in a performance bond to cover the cost of that. If that is not accomplished as it's supposed to, then the city has the money to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, with a landscape maintenance agreement, unless it's written into that agreement, I don't think we can do it that way.
Okay.
But we would go to enforcement.
So given the history on this, when you record whatever the maintenance agreement mm-hmm. is on this, will you have some requirement for a bond being posted to assure the performance?
I'm not sure that we would do that just for this one particular case, but...
We haven't been
doing that.
They're supposed to maintain their buffers. That's
that's why we would use enforcement.
Nancy, I don't have a photographic memory or anything, but the master plan does require them to keep the buffers around that college straightened mm-hmm. and cleaned
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember helping to make wording for that. I don't have the exact words.
Oh, I do.
But,
it's throughout all of the, you know, I reread everything from the original hearings, and it's repeated numerous times.
I mean, yeah. It's not like...
But what's worse is if you, I don't know if you guys saw the email correspondence between the neighbors and the university over, you know, over a year and a half at its time, and in the nicest way, the neighbors were saying, hey, you know, these weeds are, you know, they're trying to be proactive, and then they just went from, you know, oh, yeah, we're going to take care of it. Of course, they were also going to have a porta potty installed. They had plans for that. None of these things, there was a consistent practice of saying, yeah, we're going to take care of it, but not happening.
Yep.
And so that's...
It's typical.
And I'm not here to beat up on the university, but I mean, if they're not going to uphold their agreements, then I expect the city at that point to enforce it and do whatever's necessary. And if you don't have the legal ability to do it, then we need to change the way that code enforcement's handled is the way I look at it.
Well, code enforcement is not a quick process, you know, by any means, as you can tell by the, you know, you wait a week and then you issue the next kind of notice. And when we're dealing with junk vehicles in people's front yards to, you know, something like this, it's a slow, methodical process, and it's not unusual for it to take the amount of time that this one has. You know, I would say that it's often frustrating for the parties involved, and I know because I'm involved with it every day for, you know, hundreds of cases a year. But that's the way it's set up, and there's reasons for that, which, you know, probably the attorneys could address. You know, you've got to go, you've got to have time to do the investigation and document, and so, yeah, okay. It's oftentimes doesn't meet people's timetables.
So do the neighbors need to form a file a formal complaint on the landscape maintenance to get action from the city on this, or what's...
If they're not satisfied with it at this point, you know, that would be fine. I think it would be interesting to hear from them tonight, because I understand a lot of work was done at the end of last week on the buffer.
Okay.
So.
All right. Any other questions before we give the neighbors and other attendees an opportunity to talk? Okay. So, what I would ask is that please, if you have something, I want to get the input from everybody involved, not just neighbors. You know, the University of Hope is present. In fact, yeah, I see Steve. I'm interested in responses from everybody. But let's not restate things that have already been stated and agreed to here. Let's, in the interest of time, try to, you know, make points that haven't already been expressed to the extent possible. Okay? So, have at it, and please, you know, keep your remarks under 5 minutes, and start by identifying yourself and your address, and look forward to hearing what you have to say.
Good evening. I'm Larry Totally. Address is 11201 Northeast 58th Place. I'm property owner adjacent to the practice fields and the buffer area that's been discussed. Appreciate you guys taking the time on this. My main objective of this is to get this in the record, get the history in it, so when they do apply for another master plan permit, the appropriate conditions can be placed, can be enforced, and put in tune there. We specifically just coordinated with the university on the buffer maintenance and the soccer fields and the lacrosse teams, so we wouldn't have to get into code enforcement. We want to be neighbors. They are our neighbors. They've been our neighbors since we've lived there. And when the Seahawks were there, we were able to call them up. Weeds need to be taken care of. They were taken care of. We haven't got that response. And so we finally got to the point where we needed to bring it to the city's attention, filing the formal complaint. But my real issue is I know that they'll file another application, master plan revision, and we want to make sure that those conditions and the capabilities are in there, and that their non-compliance and their, you said blatant, or their disregard for their permits and their continuing use of the fields, potentially with the 3 extra games and things like that, will continue. I want that just to be in the record, so when it comes up again, there's a history for it, so we can raise that back up and get the conditions and things that we need to protect the neighborhood as a residential and family place. So that's all I wanted to put out there, but we do appreciate you guys taking the time to work through this.
One quick question for you, Larry. So how do you, based on the response, the most recent response, how do you feel? Are there any, short of just completely closing down the lacrosse, which sounds like it may be not possible for the city to make it happen, how do you feel about what the current status is?
Well, it's certainly improved really quick as soon as code enforcement went out. The buffer is cleaned up, and that's all we asked for.
Right.
We didn't ask for landscaping, which they kept saying, well, we can't landscape it. We don't care. We just want the weeds out of there.
Yeah.
And dead branches that they've trimmed off trees. And the other part, the porta potty's out there.
Okay.
So that should take care of things. We will request the university to maybe move it so it's not maybe directly in line while you're sitting on your deck. That's what you see is the porta potty. And then the part about the games, you know, if we knew that was the end of it, and that would be the end of it, I would probably be willing to live with 3 more days of it if we had an agreement. And we told them, if you sign an agreement that says you'll never ask for these types of things again, we'll let you run it through mid-June. Out there, and the response is, well, we can't do that. So I wasn't at that meeting, but that's my understanding. So from that perspective, we're trying to find a way to work it.
Okay. So, appreciate your effort.
My neighbors may not agree with that.
Okay. All right. Let's. This another neighbor?
It's another neighbor. I'm Marie Totally, Larry's wife. And I also reside at 11201 Northeast 58th Place in Kirkland. We have pamphlets for all the council members of what we presented to City Council that I'll give to you guys when I'm done with this. Pretty much just to sum what Larry had said, too, I started on September 24th, 2008, contacting Joel Castleberry with the president of Northwest University to say, please clean up the buffer. The Seahawks left in August of 2008, so I thought, well, we'll give them a month. Joe's response was, okay, that sounds good. He responded back, and I will quote what he said, which I also have in an email. If you'd like to have that, too, I can get them to you. As you know, we keep the campus greenery well-gardened. Once we get the athletic fields integrated into the main campus space, this will all become a matter of routine maintenance, something we are pretty good at. I'm looking forward to cleaning up the brush barrier between the fields and the campus. So that was September 26, 2008. 2 days after I first contacted him. I heard nothing back. I did attend the Houghton Community Council meeting on the 23rd. I did witness Dan Neary say these fields will be used exclusively for Northwest University athletics. John Kapler asked him, will you be renting these fields out? Dan Neary said, no. If we do, we will come back with a change of use permit. So then I went to February 24th, 2009. Right. Contacted Joe Castleberry again. Same thing. Hey, Joe, the weeds are still there. Oh, thanks for the heads up about the weeds. We'll look into it. Same thing happened on April 18th, 2009. Then on June 3rd, 2009, Joe Castleberry actually came over to our home, and we had other neighbors there. The main issue for that was we also are having an issue with the HVAC for the new nursing building that they installed. It goes on for 24 hours a day, a high-pitched sound. But at the time, Joe looked at the buffer from our deck, said how atrocious it looked, he was embarrassed, and that we will take care of that right away. Gosh. So, again, I want to believe them. Over the summer, my husband Larry would climb the fence and pick up garbage anywhere from beer bottles, alcohol bottles, pop cans, Gatorade, Subway sandwich bags, you name it, it's out there. It flies off the fields, down to the fence, into our yard, as do the weeds come into our yard. Then in February, so all of last summer, nothing happened. The university did nothing. February of this year, February 6th, and it's in this packet, I started noticing lacrosse players on the field. This was on a Saturday, and I thought, well, maybe they're university players, just give them the benefit of the doubt. And then that following week, practices started, Monday through Friday, anywhere from 3 in the afternoon till 6 or 7 at night. As daylight savings time started to kick in, it started getting longer. Games went anywhere from 7:30 in the morning on Saturday till 6 to 7, sometimes 8 at night, and again on Sunday, same times. So on the 16th of March, I contacted Joe Castleberry and said, hey, what's going on? He sent me an email, a very long email, talking about the lacrosse, talking about the buffer, talking about the noise from the building. Joe's response back to me was, we will address each of the concerns you mentioned as we are able to do so. You can expect the lacrosse practices and games to continue until the end of June, as they are a legal and appropriate use of our facilities. That's not in the master plan. March 16th, I contacted Tony Levitt, said, we need some help here, what can we do? Tony said, I'll look into it. March 29th, Tony got back to me, said he talked with staff and said, they're not in compliance. Would you like to mediate with them? Since September of 2008 up until now, I have contacted Northwest University 8 times to ask them to clean up that buffer, and they would not do it. Again, it's lip service. I want action. I don't believe them anymore. I don't trust them. So as neighbors, we decided, a few of us went down to the council, or down to City Council here, and we talked with Tony Levitt and Eric Shields, and we said, you know, no. He wanted to know if we would be willing to forego the games or, you know, just help them out a little bit. And we said no, because they always come to us for things. They never give anything back to us without a huge fight. So at that point, we filled out the compliance, the notification to get the code enforcement involved. So code enforcement got involved, and as Nancy said, the papers were served on the 19th. On the 21st of April, I received
30 seconds to wrap it up, Marie.
Received a phone call from Steve Sankey to meet, and we did meet on the 22nd, but at the end of that meeting, the outcome of that meeting was they'd rather pay the $100 fine than landscape the buffer, which is all we wanted. We said, start with that. But it miraculously, and they couldn't move the soccer and lacrosse games, 3 hours later, we get an email, they've moved the games. Soccer, the reason we didn't comment on that on the 31st, because it just started March 28th. It mm-hmm. goes through May 9th. And then there was Easter Sunday, so I didn't notice it then. And after that, they've been there every Sunday, $150 per child, $30 right. to drop in. And soccer was practicing out there today, but not lacrosse. Thank you.
The youth soccer or intramurals?
Marie, I have some.
The youth soccer.
The youth soccer.
Yes. Because they have these bright little yellow t-shirts, so I went over there in the pouring rain and made sure that, yes, that's who was there.
Okay. Well, that's inconsistent with they're saying that this soccer academy is only on Sundays from 3:30 to 5.
Correct.
I would certainly
and
encourage
And the soccer
you.
Academy is run by Northwest yeah. University soccer athletes. But the kids are ages 6 to 13. They are not students at the university.
Okay.
I have a couple questions.
Sure.
So you ran through your laundry list of what happened when. Mm-hmm. Can you summarize what your family would like to have happen in terms of the use? I mean, what do you really want to have happen?
What we want, and since I didn't get to finish, but what we wanted was... For, like I said, for the buffer to be cleaned up. So miraculously, again, on Friday, April 23rd at 7:30 in the morning, Northwest Landscaping Service, who takes care of the campus property, showed up at 7:30. I was gone. I left my house at 7:30, was back at 9:30. Pretty much all the weeds were gone. By 1:30 in the afternoon, it looks absolutely beautiful. So 6 hours it took them to clean up this whole buffer, taking away down trees, tree limbs, garbage, all the weeds. It looks beautiful. 6 hours as opposed to 19 months of me just saying, hey, come on, yeah. do your job.
To your satisfaction, complete yes. and beautiful?
Right now it is. My okay. big concern is how are they going to maintain it? Is this just a one-shot deal? And when they say they're going to maintain it, how do we believe that they'll maintain yeah. it?
Okay. Any other questions for Marie? Okay. Oh. Thanks, Marie.
So, do you want me to just bring this up here?
Sure, yeah. Next...
Just put them down here.
Remember, try to not repeat things have already been stated.
My name's Todd Goche, 11221 Northeast 58th Place. I'm neighbors with the Totalies, the Dutzes, and the Krennickies.
Be sure and speak into the mic so you're
sorry.
On record.
And my property abuts the buffer area, which has been atrocious, but thanks to Steve and the people from Northwest Landscape, it has been cleaned. My fear is that they'll never do it again until we have to go through this process. I don't want to reiterate the feelings that everybody else has here, but I'm strongly in agreement with my neighbors. My thought process is, if they're going to come back in for a change of master use again, which they have been very open to us when they would meet with us and communicate with us, it's something that I don't want to live with. I didn't bargain for when I bought my house 16 years ago. I have no plans on moving, nor do I want to move, but it is atrocious noise. Air horns every 10 minutes from 7:45 till 7 o'clock at night sometimes. Whistles constantly, parents cheering. I love kids. I'm all about athletics, but this is, it's unbelievable. It's 30 feet from my house. Inside your home, you can't even read a book. Because it's so loud and so disturbing. So I wanted to go on record to say how bad it truly is and also see if they do come in for a change of use, that change of use be somehow granted with very stiff penalties, so stiff that they would never even contemplate doing it. $5,000 a day. They'll scoff and go, oh, we're not going to do that. That's overkill. Well, if you're not going to do it, you don't have a problem signing it. Make it so it really, really hurts so that they don't do it.
Okay.
So hopefully I was brief enough. Brief
yeah.
enough.
Questions for Sai? Go ahead. John?
So in addition of what was really talked about and what the city has the ability to do, the landscape buffer, the play, that sort of thing, is there anything in addition that you would like to have happen? What specific, with the play that's happening mm-hmm. right now, and the landscape buffer right now. Anything additional you'd like to have happen?
except for them to be more neighborly and not blow us off. I met with Joe Castleberry over children urinating on my fence and into shrubbery. And while I don't have children, I have plenty of friends that do have children, and to have their daughters witness a 10-year-old boy or seven 10-year-old boys urinating on my fence is unbelievable to me. And so I went and met with Joe Castleberry, and he laughed and compared it to a dog urinating on grass. So the attitude from that university towards its neighbors is atrocious.
Yeah. Quick question. Have you noticed any improvement as far as the air horns and the general noise level?
Yes, I have. The games have not ceased, but they have changed, from what I can tell, their hours of operation. They're not there at 7:45 in the morning anymore. It seems that they've cut their schedule down. And my big fear when I first was meeting with everybody was daylight savings took place. Mm. During this time period, you can go to 6 because it's dark.
Right.
Now it's 8.
Yeah.
When I met with Joe Castleberry, he specifically told me that they want to go in for lighted fields for evening games. Well, I didn't buy next to Everest Park for a reason. He also said that they were going to install full sets of bleachers, which only leads them, if they're spending more money on this, they're going to be charging more money, and next thing you know, I'm going to have Friday night football games from whoever. He did mention they do have the right to maintain the bubble, if you will, that the Seahawks practiced under. And, you know, he goes, well, what if there's a natural disaster and we have to put that up? I go, I'll come help man a door, I'll do whatever, because it's a temporary use and I'm okay with natural disasters. But it seems like they're attitude is just to blow you off, and I won't throw Steve into this because my conversations with Steve have been nothing but cordial, and I'm very thankful for the way he's presented himself to at least me. I can't speak to the rest of my neighbors, but Dan Neary and Joe Castleberry are donkeys.
Well, I'm glad we have that in the record.
That's why I said it.
At any rate, back to my question, at least there you've noticed a much better as far as the noise level, the air horns and so on. What we've been told is that they've eliminated the use of air horns and that the whistles have been reduced to the minimal use possible under the circumstances, and you would concur to that?
I would concur that it's done. It is still very noisy. However, I think it shouldn't have taken this long to get to that.
Exactly.
And it's back to, again, not to reiterate, but them thumbing the nose at the city of Kirkland, at the neighbors, and that it's for the children.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have any other? Please.
My name is Will Dutt, and we're at 11207 Northeast 58th Place. We're adjacent to the Totally's. We've actually been in the neighborhood for 33 years. We actually were one of the original people that built there. We very much like the idea of being beside a Christian university. We think the school does a fantastic job in terms of turning out some pretty neat kids. This recent problem we've had, it sounds like it's going on forever. Most of our interface with the university has been through the Seahawks. 20 years or whatever it was we had them, we got real good response for any concerns that came up, and they were basically over there in our face. This thing more recently just doesn't make sense as to, you know, why they were this way, particularly a Christian, you know, school, why they weren't responsive. I agree with Todd. Steve's been very receptive. We really appreciate, after having the meeting, which we appreciate the city for red tagging them, which in turn got us to the table last week. They listened to us. They came out frustrated, as we did, but boom, there was action right then. And within 6 hours, as they said, they had that whole buffer area cleaned up. Patty and I are concerned about the long run. We really are concerned about the environmental, certainly the noise, all the junk that accumulated that might happen again. But we're also concerned about the long-term effects of our property values. If they rent this out in any change of use permit, it's definitely going to affect our property values and hence the tax that we give the city, for instance. So we really are looking at the long term, both environmental and tax value, if they do contract work out in the future. What they say in this permit makes a lot of sense, that they use it strictly for the university activities, intramurals as well as intercollegiates, fine, but not to be next to a city park like Todd mentioned. We really appreciate the idea of basically a Christian school that would behave like most schools would. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have anybody else who'd like to speak to us?
Jean Krenicki, 11215 Northeast 58th Place.
Would someone else like to speak while Jean composes herself?
I would just like, if you're here, please at least sign up on the record. You're part of the formal correspondence. You don't necessarily have to speak, but if you've come tonight, please just sign your name up so you'll be part of all the correspondence that happens.
Okay, anyone else? Thank you very much. We appreciate your input. I assume Steve knows he's welcome to speak if he wants to, Steve. If you have anything you want to say, Steve, it's fine. If you don't, I understand. Oh, here he goes.
Steve's always the nice face.
I didn't sign that yet. Steve Sankey, 14924 54th Place, Edmonds, Washington. I think that you're aware Dan Neary would be here tonight, but he's out of town. Not possible for him to be here without enormous disruption. And I appreciate your time to take this on. I'm not sure what to say. Everything's been said.
Yeah.
I'm kind of the messenger, and it's really embarrassing that to be in this spot.
It should be.
I personally I am. It's really hard to stand here to have been. Some of you know. I mean, my job is to be here to deal with neighbors, and we have some housekeeping to do. Of course, at the university, because it was until Tony called me that I was aware that some of the issues that we've been dealing with for months. And shame on us for not paying better attention to that. But it's not me, it's us all together. So so here we are, and what we hope to do is figure out how to move forward. I think Dan's done a good job. Dan does all the communication, of course. I think he's done a pretty good job of describing what we're hoping to accomplish. And I don't know if there's more that I can say that would be any helpful at all.
I have one question for you, Steve.
That's probably the better thing. Fire when ready.
Does your system allow for the neighbors to be communicating their problems directly to you, or is there a chain of command that has to go above you and then filter down to you?
Well, I think both. We thought that it's been pretty clear over the years that if there's neighbor things that I'm the one. But we do have a relatively new president. It doesn't surprise me that someone would want to talk to the new president and I don't really have a great explanation of how come I didn't ever filter down to the guy who
has the responsibility to deal with these issues.
Yeah, I've clearly been involved in the concerns over the years about the HSC, the noise off the building up there. I've been involved from the very beginning, the engineering and the compliance that we met code. I know that we've had, and we appreciate, probably haven't taken the time to say it, but there's times when the neighbors call and go, your building just making a horrible noise, and we get somebody up there and go, sure enough, we've blown a gasket or a belt or something, and it gets fixed. And I've personally been out there in the middle of the night in the early morning changing lights to try to make lights not shine. And, you know, so I think, so to answer your question, yes. We can probably do a better job of reminding our neighbors who the direct contact is. That's me. That's my job.
So it would have been better if the communications had been coming directly to you from the beginning.
Well, it would have been better if internally we would have handled that better. Because it doesn't, if you call the maintenance guy or the, you know, a student run, I mean, talk to somebody. I mean, it's us. It's not me. It's us. And
yeah, you assume if you've called the president of the university that something's going to happen.
Yes. We have to get better about
there
that.
That's an expectation.
Yeah.
That if you've gone to the top, that it's
going to. That's reasonable, more than a reasonable expectation, yes.
But if I was a neighbor, I think I might call Steve just for future.
Well,
okay. Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to put that burden on. The point is, if somebody calls us up, we need to be better at responding.
Yeah. Okay. And,
for me to say, well, it's not my job, or, you know, because maintenance isn't my job. Maintaining the landscape buffers is not my job.
Right.
It's not my job, but it is us.
So I'd like to question Steve. Yeah.
You sure and speak into the mic, please, Elsie?
Maybe he won't want me to. Right now, the neighbors seem to be pretty happy about the whiz-bang wonderful job that was done on the buffer and along the line where all the weeds and trash and stuff was. In your opinion, is that going to be done again, like once a month, or will it not be done again for a year, or how does your regular maintenance crew mow the lawn and trim?
Again, the actual maintenance is not part of my direct responsibility. I certainly can find out. I understand that Northwest Landscaping is on our property most days. They have somebody out there. That's part of their contract. If you showed up any day on our campus, there's probably one of those yellow trucks with green writing on it somewhere around campus. I think that unless we were more foolish than we may be perceived as being already, it's likely that this will be incorporated in our weekly maintenance. It's likely. The situation in there, I mean, part of the, as the folks have described, part of the problem has been there. I was out there the other day. There were trees that have been falling down out there in that landscape for, I mean, how many years? Who knows? I mean, who knows how long? More recently, the trees that got trimmed, and those were, you know, they were still green, but man, there was stuff out there that was been years. Yeah, there's moss growing on it. Actually, some of it looks pretty cool. But to answer your question, we would be. I don't even know how to describe how insane it would be if that didn't become part of our routine maintenance. The difference is it isn't planted with plants. I was quite surprised when they went through with the weed eaters and whacked. I mean, it's just like dirt. It's a sand pit right now. And so whether or not it becomes a weekly maintenance thing or a monthly maintenance thing, it's different than mowing the lawn. You got to mow the lawn. And when they go through and occasionally, I don't know how frequently they go through and weed the other landscape barriers or whatever.
Okay, I got one more question then. So when you go back to the college, will you contact the department that is, or the person that is in charge of the landscaping and make some arrangements to have something done? Or are you just going to go back and sort of forget about it because it's not your department?
Yeah, well, Steve, how insane are you?
Well, this is a test.
Yeah. Oh, well, sorry.
This is on the record, isn't it? Yeah. Those are my words. Those are my words. What I can commit to is, well, this is more than you want to know, but But in the last, since September, in our institution, the maintenance department, which has been under one vice president, and the campus planning department, which is under Dan Neary, my role, we've been meeting every week that the calendar allows to bring those two groups together, because the maintenance vice president is retiring, phasing out, and all of that comes under Dan Neary's portfolio. So we've been meeting since September almost every week to discuss things like, what are you doing every day, painting the dorms, mowing the lawns, whatever, and what am I doing, master plan, neighbors, whatever. So this has been the last couple weeks that has come to our attention. We didn't meet last week, the week before. This was on our agenda. I keep that. I drive that agenda. It's on our agenda for next Tuesday. Not tomorrow, because both vice presidents are out of town. The following week, this will be on our agenda. And
does that mean it'll be ongoing? It's not just on your meeting thing for next Tuesday, but on the...
Well, I would intend that to put it on the agenda would mean we do something with it. We don't just put stuff on agendas just to chat about it, usually.
Okay. I picked on you. Sorry.
No, you're more than welcome to. I mean, I've been looking forward to this, but this is the process. And I was like, gee, I can't wait to go to the Houghton Community Council tonight. But this is part of the process, and I can just tell you what I can do. And
That's good. John, you had a question?
I do. I've got a few questions for you. Number one, just to parrot Elsie's comments about this being on your agenda and perhaps ask one further action item on it, would be to somehow correspond with the city what you intend to do, so that can in turn get back to the neighborhood so you all together can manage expectations.
Sure.
I think that in part is sort of what's needed here, is to go through a bit of time making sure that each party meets expectations set, so things calm down a little bit. And I think setting your action plan for the maintenance on this would be a good step, a good first step in the right direction. Second item I have for you. We have heard a comment about the squeaky air conditioner from a neighbor and from you. Would you also put that on your list and maybe report back to the city, since it is now part of the record? Apparently there's a squeaky air conditioner on top of the new nurses' building, as I understood it, and perhaps a nod for clarification. Yes.
Yeah.
That's really annoying.
Next is perhaps a message back to Mr. Neary, since he cannot be here tonight. Part of the record, when he did speak, was that he had hoped the original application about 1 year ago today was a small step that will lead to a more extensive use of the property. During that meeting, neighbors were here. Everybody was very complacent and very happy. I think that's different tonight. And I think that probably will be different for the next submittal for application. So my comment, I guess, would be to let Mr. Neary know that the neighbors have kind of circled the wagons, and that immediate response would probably be appropriate. Just from the standpoint of working together for any future application, because everybody mentioned it.
Yeah, I think there. Anything else, John?
Thank you.
Yeah, basically what any developer who has any sense does is he first gets the neighbors to all buy in to whatever they're proposing before you come up with a proposal, and that's just good business, and hopefully that's the way you guys will proceed and not come in and try to blindside the neighbors.
Putting the Seahawks in there, one of the reasons I think they were such good neighbors was because there were a lot of limits on what they could and couldn't do. They could not have people come watching their games. They could not charge admission. All of a sudden, all that went away. when the Seahawks went away, but I think that the neighbors are going to have to be very active when this new master plan comes up and make sure that there's every safeguard that they need, because it's our neighborhood first.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I want to be careful that we don't characterize that it used to be great and there was never problems with the Seahawks, because I personally had to call, as the Houghton chair, code violations repeatedly for locked fences, and we had lots of people come talk to us about speeding Seahawks and traffic on 53rd Street. So I don't exactly want to say it was great when the Seahawks were there.
No,
and there was never a problem.
No, but they didn't have loud cheering crowds, because we made sure there people couldn't do that. So.
And for the record, so you know, being a neighbor, I love living next to the university. It's beautiful. I love to see all the kids walking back and forth to campus. I thoroughly enjoy living as one of your neighbors.
We like
thoroughly enjoy it. Thoroughly enjoy it. Yeah.
Kids are good.
Yeah.
I want to throw in one last thing for you, Steve, and that is I'm looking at an email from Dan Neary that it's to Marie, and it specifically references, I would like to do some planting this summer to thicken up that 30-foot landscape buffer, which should result in something that can be better maintained. I'll stay in touch as we come up with a plan.
Yes.
I don't know if you were aware of that, but I would certainly encourage you to follow up and do make that happen. And the better you do, probably the better you're going to establish, restore some trust with a neighbor. So that's my last comment. Anything else from the council? Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, everybody.
I'm sorry. I just wondered if I could comment for just a sec.
Sure.
I think this is an interesting conversation. There's no, as we look forward, part of the experience that we've had at Northwest University before we ever took over the 10 acres up there, was the City Parks Department came to us and said, hey, this is the best grass in the state. We would love, like we do with Lake Washington and other schools, we would like to figure out a way to share the use of your fields up there.
When did this occur?
It was before the Seahawks ever left. I have it in my notes somewhere. Okay. It was probably a couple of years ago now. And we were pretty excited about that, because we thought, hey, if they could mow the lawns and fertilize it and water it, and we could figure out how to share the use of that, that'd be a pretty cool community cooperative kind of an effort.
Mm-hmm. There was definitely those conversations. Houghton Council was part of those.
Yeah. And then there was a conversation about an aquatic center that the city came to us and said, hey, we're trying to figure out an aquatic center. And we go, are you kidding me? That just isn't going to work here for us, and that sort of thing. And then more recently, I haven't been able to be at all the meetings, but I was invited to be part of the meetings to revise the Houghton Comprehensive Plan. And I'm sorry I missed last week. That sounded like a real hoot there.
You'll be there tomorrow, right?
I have two conflicts, but evidently you don't need me to have a good time there. So. But it's been an interesting conversation at that level, too, because around that table, and I realize it's not the whole community, there's been lots of interest expressed in schools within Houghton and how the community gets to share the use and how handy it is to be able to have, for instance, Best High School right there, and we can go use the fields and we can do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I put all those things kind of in my mind, just in my little crazy world, I think that this is an important conversation. Certainly, we have work to do to be more responsive and more inclusive in our planning. But I would think that we'd want to be really careful about prescribing such a close use in our long-term planning that we would exclude the opportunity for the university to use our campus or fields or any part of our facility to exclude opportunities to cooperate with the community. And so that's why I think it's an important, this is a really important conversation. And there's a process here, and I think it's an important process, but I'd hate for us to draw this line in the sand without considering down the road all of the people in the community who are saying, boy, wouldn't it be nice to be able to cooperate with the university and share the facility, whether it's a football field, whether it's a gymnasium, whether it's a performing arts center, whether it's a dining hall.
Can I speak to that?
Because yes, please.
I think that you had that opportunity. I mean, I think that what's happened here, I think if the college had conducted itself in a more honorable way over the last 5 months, then I think that that conversation, people could say, wow, you know, this can work. At this point, I think people are saying, we're too afraid to open the door because, you know, it's like the camel's nose under the tent. And all of a sudden, it's not community use. It's for-profit use. It's unregulated. It's totally disrespectful. Our children are being exposed to people urinating, and then the president of the college says it's like a dog peeing on the grass. No, it's not. This is a Christian university. Come on. So I would say I understand what you're saying, and you have very lofty goals, but I think the reality has to meet, you know, what you guys say has to meet with what you do. And that needs to happen consistently for the neighborhood to trust you. And you can take that back to Mr. Castleberry and Mr. Neary, because Mr. Neary stood right here and said, no, we will not rent out those fields. And then he writes in a letter here, we certainly have the right to do that. So he, you know, you guys can talk about it, but let's get real here together. You know, if we have to be able to trust you to open that door to allow the community to use these fields. And that's what I'm hearing from these people. I mean, we want to trust you. I mean, I think that's what everybody here has been saying for 25 years. We keep giving you another chance. And, you know, because we're going, they're a Christian college. They're not, they wouldn't do that, would they? Yeah, they do. And that's what I think is what hurts us as neighbors. It's what hurts us because we're good people, you know, and we expect good things from you. So that's, I think, what you're hearing here tonight.
I will add one thing to Steve, and that is I served on the park board for 9 years, and we actually pioneered the use of joint venturing with the school district and use of their fields. However, the city, when that happens, the city controls the use of the fields, and they coordinate with the school for the school's use, but any outside uses, the city absolutely controls it, and that obviously isn't the way this worked. Furthermore, any time that we endeavored to utilize a school facility that had a strong presence of neighbors close to the fields, the city went overboard in making sure that they took into consideration the neighbors and didn't put in uses that were going to upset the neighbors. And you need to involve the neighbors, you know, in this process in a big way. So I want to just reiterate, you've got to be very proactive in making sure, first getting their trust and then involving them in the process of what would work, what would be acceptable to you guys. That's the only way you're going to get anywhere with this. So I think we probably beat this to death. So I think it's been constructive, though. I'm glad that everybody was here for it. And sounds like, you know.
Thanks for stepping up to the mic.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Steve. Yeah.
I hope you took your best shot, because I hope this is the last time we get to be here doing this.
That would be, yeah.
And we know you're the messenger, and we know you're the nice guy.
Well, it's all us together. I appreciate your candor, and thank you.
Okay. All right, so that is that item on the agenda. Wasn't that fun, Nancy?
That was fun.
As far as the administrative report on the joint follow-up from the joint meeting of the City Council, anything you want to say about that? Or
no, I just, because we're going to have a meeting, I thought I'd pass on the information to bring everyone up to date.
Yeah.
So I put those copies at your place. It includes what is currently in your orientation manual and what is another draft of that document that we looked at in March. So.
Yeah. The only thing I noticed in this memo that was would be an issue is obviously there's no money for outside counsel if need be. And, you know, if you've got an issue with the city and you can only rely upon the city's counsel to represent you, that's
conflict of interest concern.
But I don't think it'll be a problem because what's her name? I forget.
Carol
Morris. Carol has offered in situations like that, hey, if need be, I'll
I would vote against that. That's part of the rights of the council. No. The fact that we haven't used it in 6 years doesn't mean
right.
It's irrelevant.
We should get rid of it. Yeah. I would feel very strongly about that and would speak for a long time until you finally agreed.
Okay.
No, it's a clear conflict of interest.
Yes.
Yeah.
2001 ordinance gives us the right. It says that we get all of our office expenses, our secretary, and any technical support we need.
Yeah.
Also, RCW, which states underneath municipal corporations, we get the technical support we need.
Yeah.
And the only times we've ever had to use outside lawyers has almost every time been when we've butted heads with the city over something.
Right.
And it would be just have the city's attorneys conferring with the city and then coming and telling us what we can do would just not do at all.
We're on the same page. I'm saying that we would not rely upon the city's attorney for representation.
Right.
And so we would use Carol and deal with the expense afterwards. But before we got to that stage, if there could be any way of we can't communicate directly with the council, so if we could communicate issues through the city's attorney that may be able to resolve something without having to go to outside counsel is what I'm saying.
That's true.
Right? Yeah, that's where I'm at. And then
also, a lot of times, we have asked the city attorneys to come and give us advice on the proper procedures for our meetings or for our hearings or a lot of different things. But if it comes right down to the nitty-gritty, are we going to veto this and do we have the rights to do it?
Yeah.
Or is it an ordinance that takes away our powers? We're not going to ask the city attorneys.
I agree.
Okay,
we're on the same page there. Okay, anything else on that, Nancy? Is that good?
No.
Well, then, with the power invested in me, I declare this meeting adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank
Please
you all so much.
Sign
Thank
up.
Thank you.
Sign up. Be
Please
part of the record.
Please do not leave before you sign that
Thank
paper.
You, Steve, for being brave enough to show up.
Oh, yeah. I was going to give them to Nancy.
What do you think?
Yes. Nice job.
Funny, I started my day off by being a...